Welcome to episode 397 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I make my living selling black market cigarettes. I'm a dangerous outlaw. Today, Fantastic Four, 397, from February 1995. Resurrection by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. The issue begins at JFK Airport, where Johnny Storm has just gotten off a plane from Arizona. He flames on and he flies through the terminal. Remember, this is before 9/11, when you could get away with doing stuff like that. He saw that flaming apparition of his sister, Sue, and he thinks she's in danger, so he rushed back to New York City to help her out. Back in the baggage claim area, a fairly ordinary bag comes sliding down the ramp and onto the carousel. The bag starts to change shape, turning into Elijah the Scroll. Yes, she flew back on the plane in the luggage compartment as a piece of luggage. Once again, before 9/11, you could do that. Back at FF headquarters, Ant-Man and Ben are getting the Stealth Hawk ready. That's the stolen Skrull ship they've been using lately. Johnny flies in and mentions that he flew halfway across the country because his sister's in danger. Someone needs to tell him that Arizona to New York is far more than halfway across the country. Just then, a large shadow falls over the three of them. They look up, and they see the Watcher. He tells the three men to chill out. He's only the Watcher. He says that he's taken an oath to never interfere in human affairs. But, there's always a but, there's a Skrull warship on its way to Earth, and they better go intercept it before it reaches Earth. Even after all the helpful advice the Watcher has given in the past, this time, Ben and Johnny are skeptical. Why would the Skrull suddenly choose to attack us? Ben says, and he adds that something smells fishy. Either Elijah the Skrull is nearby, or he doesn't believe the Watcher's story. Ben tells the Watcher they gotta go rescue Sue, so the Watcher just gives up. I apologize. I have apparently underestimated you, he says. And then he gets mad. And I will not do so again! And he starts firing energy beams from his eyes at the three heroes. Johnny tries to attack the Watcher with flames, but the Watcher, surprisingly for someone with such pale skin, doesn't burn. He swats Johnny aside like a fly, and Ben plans to attack the Watcher with a big metal column that he ripped out of the floor. The Watcher causes all these hot water pipes to burst in the floor under Ben, who is obviously very upset. It's gonna cost a shitload of money to hire a plumber to fix all that damage. Ant-Man is just standing there, not sure what to do. Maybe he should attack the Watcher with his strength, the strength of a normal man. But then he looks at the Skrull Stealth Hawk and he gets an idea. Back with Ben and Johnny, they're not having much luck against the Watcher. Ben tells Johnny to execute Plan 4W. If this plan involves worrying, whimpering, whining, and making wrong decisions, Johnny is just the man for the job. Johnny reluctantly flies out of the room. Back in the Himalayan monastery, the Monastery of Doom, Sue wakes up after being knocked out by Nathaniel Richards, her dick father-in-law. She's imprisoned in this large, transparent ball. She looks over and sees these two mysterious figures lying in the status tubes. She thinks it's probably her husband Reed and Dr. Doom, unconscious inside those tubes. She starts pushing against the walls of her prison bubble with her force field, and she breaks it apart. Once she's free, she tells Nathan to step away from the machine. He looks back at her and says that she's too late. His goals have already been accomplished. Back at FF headquarters, the fight with Ben, Johnny, and the Watcher continues. Ant-Man gets into the pilot's seat of the Stealth Hawk, turns it on, and fire and flames shoot out of the exhaust pipes of the ship right at the Watcher. Of course, we've already seen that fire and flame do no good against the Watcher. Doesn't even leave a mark on his clean white robes. He strolls away unharmed, out of the flames. He looks over. He sees Johnny flying at him, carrying some kind of large gun, a weapon that the Watcher doesn't know what it is. He must have fallen asleep when Reed was building it. Johnny fires the gun at the Watcher, and these rays of cosmic energy shoot out of the gun, hit the Watcher, and start draining him of his energy, making him weaker and weaker. Before he gets too weak, he zaps the gun and destroys it. He has this evil grin on his face, and he says it's time to rid himself of these petty annoyances. Someone else sneaks up behind the heroes and says, "You do not possess the necessary power to defeat him, but I do." They turn around and look, and they see the Watcher. Another Watcher. Seems like they were fighting the Watcher's evil twin. So the evil watcher disappears, telling the good watcher, "Farewell, my brother. I will spare these humans for now. I caution them, and you as well, to refrain from meddling in my affairs." Ben wants to know what the hell is going on, but the good watcher isn't inclined to answer either, so he disappears too. Johnny notices that the good watcher left something behind. Ah, that old trick. Just an excuse for him to come back later. They pick up this device. It's some kind of technologically advanced machine, and even Ant-Man doesn't know what it is. He acknowledges the fact that he's a poor replacement for Reed Richards. Ben says to forget about it. They gotta go find Sue. Back with Nathaniel and Sue, Nathan is laughing as the status pods start to open up. A fog comes out of the tubes as the two figures emerge from hibernation. Sue is surprised.
"No, this is impossible,"
she thinks to herself.
"It can't be him."
One of the guys who comes out of the tube, he picks up a Dr. Doom mask because it's Christoph, the kid who was brainwashed into thinking he was the real Dr. Doom. Oh boy, did we really want to see him again. And the other guy is Boris, an older man who serves as Christoph's assistant. Back in New York, Lijah has reached FF headquarters. She hears a sound and she watches as the Stealth Hawk takes off and flies away from the building, leaving Lijah distraught that she just missed Johnny Storm, her ex-husband, who she's been stalking. Some guy on the street looks at her and thinks to himself, "Weird objects zoom the skies, and green-skinned ladies walk the street. You don't see sights like that in Gotham City." Such a weird reference to Gotham City. Why Gotham City? This is not a character I recognize from the pages of Batman. He could have mentioned any other city in America, so the fact that he mentions a city that exists in an alternate reality is really odd. For some reason, Sue asks Christoph to tell her about his father. Who gives a rat's ass about his father? Well, anyway, Christoph tells her his story. His father died when he was really young, and he was raised by his mother. Later, his mother was killed by people seeking to overthrow Dr. Doom as the leader of Latveria, and he was taken in and raised by Dr. Doom, treating him like his own son. Later, after Doom was seemingly killed, the Doom robots took Christoph, put him in a machine that brainwashed him into thinking he's the real Dr. Doom. So apparently, at this point, Christoph knows, now he knows, that he's not the real Dr. Doom. So when the real Dr. Doom came back, they fought, Dr. Doom reclaimed control over the country, and Christoph was stuck in that tube until now. Sue is about to tell him that Dr. Doom is seemingly dead again when someone comes in and tells everyone that a flying object is on its way to the hidden retreat. Christoph figures it must be Sue's teammates, and Boris is cryptically thinking to himself, "Unless I'm mistaken, our guests suspect nothing." Back on the moon, in the home of the Watcher, he appears, and a mysterious person standing in the shadows tells the Watcher that he saw his performance back at Four Freedoms Plaza, and not to count on getting an Oscar. The Watcher tells him that the FF will not interfere with their plans. The guy in the shadows says, "We both know better. They're relentless. They'll never stop until they've learned the truth. No one knows them better than I." And he steps out of the shadows, and it's Reed Richards. But is it the real Reed Richards, or the Reed from another reality? Back at the monastery, Ben, Johnny, and Ant-Man have arrived, and they're surprised to see Christoph and Nathaniel Richards hanging out there with Sue. Sue tells Nathaniel that she was assuming that, regarding that story he told a couple issues back, that his son was Dr. Doom, but maybe he was saying that Christoph is his son. Nathaniel tells her not to make assumptions. Christoph asks to see the device that Johnny and Ben found left behind by the Watcher. Johnny hands him the device, but tells him to remember where he got it. Christoph studies it and determines that it's the power core to a weapon with enough power to extinguish the sun. He says they must find the Watcher at once and compel him to reveal his treachery. And that's it. That's it for this issue. Not a lot happens, really. We learn that the Watcher is up to no good. Or is that the real Watcher? Or are there one or are there two Watchers? What's up with that? Christoph is back. Ugh. Reed Richards is back. Or is he? And that's it. Things are just being put into place to build up to the big 400th issue. Remember when comic books used to reach milestones like 300 and 400? Wasn't that cool? So anyway, you can download other episodes of this podcast to iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I have a blog where you can find my favorite panels from each issue of the FF at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
Yeah, mother! Same old doubts, nothing to write home about. Dear John.